Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's weekend program with me, Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, in our special program, we look at the changing Czech media environment. Then a dog driver and other weird and wonderful stories in a new edition of magazine. And later, we bring back our popular miniseries from the archives, so please stay tuned for all of that. But first, the Czech media landscape is changing beyond recognition, as anyone who used to listen to Radio Prague on shortwave knows only too well. So how is the Czech Republic keeping pace with the digital revolution? And what are the new dangers that go with the social media, citizen journalism, and all the other innovations that are transforming the work of the traditional journalist? For the last 3 months, David Vaughan has been teaching broadcasting history to students at Prague's Anglo-American University. As part of the course, he asks his students to map some of the latest shifts in the Czech digital media landscape. The following program is the result of their investigation.
My name is Allison.
My name is Ellen.
I'm Lauren.
Zach.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Marketa.
We are students at the Anglo-American University in Prague and are taking a course on the history of radio, TV, and internet. The aim of this radio program is to look at how the internet, social media, and citizen journalism are impacting people's media habits in the Czech Republic, and what impact this is having on traditional media organizations, newspapers, and broadcasters.
We began by going to the streets of Prague, where we found people of three different generations, and asked them how they use the internet.
I am George, and I'm 59 years old. I think internet is very good for me, because when I have no newspaper, I can read this information from internet, because many newspaper titles are on internet.
My name is Thomas, and I'm 14 years old. I use it to chat with my friends, and I go over the internet site where I read as well the news.
Yeah, I'm 33 years old.
What's your primary use for the internet?
Well, besides porn, I'm also downloading the games and movies. I'm looking for the news as well.
So my name is Aneta and I'm 27 years old. I use it for emails and Facebook mainly and searching stuff.
I'm Markéta Kristová, and I've been working as webmaster since 1996. Before 1989, before Velvet Revolution, PCs were very rare in Czechoslovakia because only 2% of households possessed PCs, because they were not available in Czechoslovakia and PCs were smuggled from Austria and Western countries. And they were very expensive for Czech people. So just after Velvet Revolution in 1989, Czechs started to use more and more computers.
Czechoslovakia was first connected to the internet in February 1992, and the first dial-up connections were made available to the public 2 years later.
Fees for internet connection were higher than in Western Europe due to monopoly of IT company Český Telecom, and this monopoly lasted till 2002. So the prices still remain higher for ADSL than in Western Europe, and due to this, I think only 50% of Czechs are connected to the internet these days.
My name is Camila Hawthorne. I'm the manager of digital media initiatives at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I've been impressed by the level of IT innovation that is happening in the Czech Republic. Recently at the One World Film Festival, there was a side session that was giving awards to social innovation in technology. It was called the One World Social Innovation Competition. And there are people who are, you know, building applications to monitor smog levels or, you know, map their communities in interesting ways. So I wasn't really expecting that. It's such a small country, but there's actually a growing movement of people who are trying to build interesting projects for the Czech Republic that address the needs of people who are here.
Internet is really free because If you want to get to know about anything, you can create your own website and you can start to gain your audience. So I think that the internet is the most free medium in the Czech Republic.
How has the internet changed traditional media?
It has changed because in recent years there is very stiff competition among Czech online media. And Czech media has started go online after 1998, when was launched the first big news portal, iDnes. And since that, there's been very stiff competition. All media invest a lot of money in the new technologies. What is now the most popular for them is offering newspapers for iPad. So we will see if it will return to them, because now they are offering like first 3 months for free and you will get the newspapers into your iPad.
Dobrý večer. Ano, je to tak, začíná Hyde Park, jak já s oblibou říkám, prostor pro vás a pro vaše otázky, u kterého vítejte.
The daily program Hyde Park is going out on Czech Public Service Television. Its purpose is to embrace the new multimedia and interactive environment. The host is having experts on certain topic, and the audience can ask him live via telephone, Facebook or Twitter.
But with the meteoric rise of what has come to be known as citizen journalism, are the traditional big players in the media in danger of becoming irrelevant? One of the world's major international broadcasters is Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty. Set up in the Cold War and funded by the U.S. Congress, the station has been based for the last 18 years here in Prague. It broadcasts to many parts of the former Soviet Union, as well as the Middle East, and increasingly to Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan.
So we've headed across Prague to Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's highly secure building, with about 3 security checkpoints and more people working security than working in the building, on the eastern part of Prague. Here, Camilla Hawthorne is going to tell us a few things about huge changes that are taking place at the station, thanks to the new media.
Dëgjoj së nderuar mirëmëngjesi dhe mirë se vini në valët e Radios Evropa e Lirë, programin në gjuhën shqipe kushtuar Kosovës.
The platforms that we use have shifted dramatically, so moving from shortwave radio primarily to medium wave to FM radio to television to the internet to social media. So we're spread across many more platforms, but also the practice of broadcasting I think has changed too. So it's no more a one way, you know, the broadcaster tells the news and you listen, but I think it's become more interactive. Active, more participatory with social media and citizen journalism. The people who were traditionally just the consumers of news now often play a part in the actual process of making the news and telling stories.
پاونسن کې د سهار وبجې سفید ازادي رادیو د نن ورځې خبرونه له همدې شبي پایل سوی او د ماشوم تروبه روانې وي.
It's more and more important for journalists to play the role of curators. So while some people are pessimistic and say that, you know, broadcasting is dying or journalism is dying because of social media, I actually think that the flood of information that's available now makes the role of journalists even more important, because you need people who can sort of step aside, who have the background and the knowledge and the ability to verify information to say, okay, out of everything that we're receiving in tweets and YouTube videos and text messages, how can we put a story together out of this? You know, what's false, what's true, and how do we build a narrative out of that? So I think it's also, you know, a lot of it now is shifting toward helping people make sense of all the information that's out there, and maybe even helping to cultivate media literacy in our audiences as well.
The social media does not exist in a vacuum. Growing reliance on the internet and mobile phone technologies means that traditional broadcasters are losing some of their independence. They are increasingly reliant on the service providers and companies like Facebook and Twitter.
I think you're absolutely right, and we already see where this can be problematic. When you're dependent on someone else's platforms and something breaks, it's really important, frankly, to be able to have a close connection with people who work for that company. Otherwise, your information might be lost. We're often very vulnerable on social media. People who don't support the work that we do might set up a fake profile of one of our journalists with spam content or extremist content. And when that happens, it's very difficult because you don't own the software. You can't go in and change it or recover a password. You know, another challenge as well is that I think a lot of these companies have very Western or American-oriented ideas of what privacy and security means, and they don't necessarily think first about what it means to be a Facebook user in Uzbekistan or what it means to be managing a Facebook page that targets the Iranian audience.
Что они продемонстрировали обществу? Что, художники, пройдя экспонент?
Ну, Аня очень точно сформулировала. Да. Они провели акцию протеста, свою акцию протест художников.
Против... The question of perception is actually one that we encounter a lot in Russia as well. You know, Russia has Kontaktia, which is a Russian social network, but there's also Facebook. And there's a pretty significant difference between the people who use Kontaktia and the people who use Facebook. People who use Kontaktia see it as, you know, it's their network, it's a Russian network, and they're suspicious of Facebook because it's foreign and American. Now, the people who use Facebook who are Russian tend to be more educated and more sort of internationally oriented. They travel a lot, they have foreign friends, and therefore they're more comfortable with it as a platform. And so, you know, the question for us as well is to what extent do we focus on these larger, maybe Western social networks, and to what extent do we focus on the local social networks?
Two things are clear, both here in the Czech Republic and beyond. One is that there is no turning back to the old days of one-way media. But what is perhaps more striking is how fragmented the media environment is becoming, and no one can predict which platforms will become more or less dominant in the next 5 years. For media organizations, including Radio Prague, the future is uncertain, but the opportunities are growing by the day.
This broadcast was made by Alison Wiseman, Lauren Kirsch, Ellen Weiler, Zachary Weinerman, Daniel Schmertz, Sarah Abraham, Marketa Horazna, and Karen Kessel in cooperation with David Vaughan. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, a new edition of Magazine with Daniela Lazarova.
The arrest of MP David Rath with 7 million crowns in cash packed into a wine box has given rise to a great many jokes at his expense. After the police found another 30 million under the MP's floorboards, betting agencies started taking bets how much the MP had squirreled away in total. People cracked jokes that while Jesus could turn water into wine, Arath could turn wine into banknotes, and there were reports of wine sellers taking boxes of expensive wine from the shelves because they had been found to contain too many banknotes per box. A drunk driver stopped by traffic police in the town of Frýdek-Místek last week tried to convince officers his dog had been driving the car. A police spokesman reporting on the incident said the police had signalled the driver to stop, and by the time they reached the car, the man had quickly swapped seats, getting into the front passenger seat and putting his dog behind the steering wheel. The man was extremely drunk and had earlier had his licence confiscated. History and military buffs who like to take part in reconstructions of historic battles can be extremely pedantic about details. For instance, a recent reconstruction of one of the last battles of World War II at Slivice, when German troops frantically trying to surrender to the nearby Americans defended themselves against partisans and the Soviet army, gave cause to plenty of complaints from the organizers. Jiří Fejfar, a long-time member of the Military History Club, is one of the watchdogs on the lookout for individuals who just want to have a bit of fun and come dressed in whatever uniform they happen to find. We've had people come in period dress that is way out, he complains. We've even had people come in a uniform from the Korean War. People wanting to take part in the reconstruction must not only be wearing the right military uniform and know what they're supposed to be doing, they must also look the part. Long hair and hippie style is out, Feyfar says, but adds that one must not be too groomed either. Remember, this was the end of the war. The soldiers had crew cuts, but they had not shaved in several days and were most likely dirty. We don't want any clean and tidy soldiers strutting around in this battle, he says. A bit extreme, you may think, but members of the Military History Club take this particular hobby seriously and don't want jokers spoiling it. Feyfar says that since the right uniforms are hard to find, they get a tailor to make a perfect replica, which costs on average 12,000 crowns. Of course, once delivered, it must be rumpled up a bit to make it look like it had seen some action. So when you next see the reconstruction of a historic battle, keep in mind how much effort and money is involved to get it right. And if you plan to join one, make sure not to wash or shave for a day or two. Extreme angler Jakub Wagner, whom you know from his television series Fish Warrior on National Geographic Channel, has a new project in the Czech Republic. He has rented out a lake for 25 years in the vicinity of Kutná Hora, where he wants to establish a breeding ground for threatened freshwater fish species. In time, he plans to have a fishing camp for children on its embankment and organize fishing competitions, naturally according to his own golden rule. Any fish caught must be released. Famous Paris Wax Museum, Musée Grévin, will open a branch in Prague in 2014, Compagnie des Alpes representatives confirmed this week. The Prague Museum will be located in Prague's Celetná Street, and the company is allegedly investing 10 million euros into the project. It will be the second Grévin Museum outside Paris after Montreal, where such a museum is due to open in the spring of 2013. Copies of the famous Maui statues on Easter Island may soon be on show in Moravia. As of this week, a precise cement copy of one of those statues is to be seen in the town of Bohdalice in the Vyškov region. A group of 10 enthusiasts visited Easter Island, took precise measurements of the 3.5-meter-tall statue and photographs according to which they made a mold. The statue was erected last week and another 11 are in the pipeline to be completed within the next 2 years. The highest of them should be 7 meters tall. Fans of historical planes are in for a treat in the town of Jindřichův Hradec, where members of the Old Timer Aviation Club have brought out 24 veteran gliders for a spectacular air show. The 60-year-old machines were slated for scrapping years ago, but aviation enthusiasts got them back into shape and occasionally fly them. Among those in action this week is the Zlín 24 Krajanek glider made in 1947. Others now sailing the skies were made in the 50s and 60s. All of these planes are now in private hands and are only aired on occasion. A team-building exercise in Brno, setting a record in sipping a pint of beer with a spoon, has metamorphosed into a nationwide competition open to beer fans around the country. People can now qualify for the tournament, which is to take place in September. Originally, the race was for restaurant and pub employees, but it turned out to be so popular and spread so quickly among the locals that the organizers decided to go nationwide with it. The present record in sipping a pint of beer from a soup plate with a spoon is 1 minute and 1 second flat in the men's category and 1 minute 13 seconds for the ladies. People can put their results on the competition's webpage, but to take part in the September contest, they must travel to Brno in person. The interest is so great that the organizers are now looking for a brewer to sponsor the event. TechnoDat, an engineering, product design and development company, is promising adventurous-minded people something spectacular in the fall, an electric-powered flying bike. The bike, which is to be unveiled at the Brno Engineering Fair in September, has the parameters of a normal bike, but thanks to a set of horizontally placed propellers, it should be able to undertake what is the company describes as a short coordinated flight. The head of the company says that the bike flying bike is a boy's dream come true for many employees and a present that the firm gave itself on its 20th birthday.
Thank you, Daniela Lazarova. We are always happy to get your comments and questions, so do get in touch. The address is Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, and you can also send us an email at english@radio.cz. But now, a rerun of our popular miniseries From the Archives by David Vaughan.
When I first moved to Prague nearly two decades ago, Czech friends were often astonished when I said that I'd never heard of the American singer Dean Reed. Dubbed the Red Elvis, Reed was a household name throughout the Eastern Bloc.
I believe in music.
After a couple of minor hits at home at the end of the 1950s, the Denver-born singer spent many years in Latin America. There he embraced the revolutionary left and became hugely popular. In 1973, he moved to the German Democratic Republic. Thoroughly approved of by the communist regimes of the time, he enjoyed a big following in Czechoslovakia.
Desde hondo crisol de la patria se levanta el clamor popular.
In 1978, Reed was one of the stars of the World Youth Festival in Havana, which was attended by some 16,000 left-wing students from around the world, including a large contingent from Czechoslovakia. In an interview for Czechoslovak radio, Reed poured praise on his Cuban hosts.
People are special people, as I think you have noticed. They are so open, they are so loving, so giving, and I think that every delegate who is here, is the first moment is shocked, because from every child to every old person waves and screams and wants autographs. Not only the sun here is warm, the people are warm and loving, And I think that is maybe one of the greatest differences, that there's such a feeling of openness here.
You are very popular with young people in Czechoslovakia, and you have been several times to our country. What would you like to tell young Czechoslovakian people from Havana?
I send you a little bit of sun, and I, of course, send you all of my friendship. I don't believe so much in official speeches sometimes. I'm not a diplomat. I have other feelings. I think maybe the greatest worth of this type of festival sometimes is the direct contact of the Czechoslovak youth when they come and meet a Cuban, and they come and meet somebody from Angola, and they come and meet a Vietnamese. I think it's very, very important for the continued work against imperialism and for peace. Last night, I gave a concert in a theater. Fidel Castro and Raul Castro came, and the people stood and applauded my songs when I came onto the stage also. And that was something I shall never forget also, the love that the Cuban people last night, when I sang, gave to me.
What's your feeling about that? You are in a socialist country, which is not far at all from the United States.
It reminds me of my obligation as an American to fight harder than ever, so that not only Cuba is free, but the other countries in South America and Latin America shall also be able someday to have a World Youth Festival. My country is only 90 miles from here, and they have tried to blockade these people, to stop progress, but they were not able to stop progress. You know, I'm very, very happy to be able to give my regards and my love to the Czechoslovak people, and I hope to see you all again in Prague very soon. Ahoy.
That was the Red Elvis, Dean Reed, in 1978. 8 years later, at the age of just 47, he drowned in a lake near East Berlin. Officially, it was an accident, but after the fall of communism, a suicide note was found in the Stasi secret police files. To this day, Dean Reed's extraordinary life and unexplained death continue to arouse speculation and controversy.
That edition of From the Archives by David Vaughan brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. I'm Jan Richter, and for all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and be sure to tune in again soon. Goodbye.